African Americans suffer from Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia at 2 to 3 times the rate of non-Hispanic whites. But at the same time, they're less likely to take part in research. That's created a challenge for researchers hoping to get a better understanding how the disease affects this population. Anna Gorman is a reporter for Kaiser Health News, and she's been writing about this. Anna, welcome back to Take Two.
Thank you.
You wrote about two people, Levi and Dorothy Reeves, an African-American couple dealing with dementia. Tell us some more about them.
Sure. They're a lovely couple. They've been married for 57 years. Yeah. They have kids and grandkids. They're both educators, and they live in the hills in Oakland. And Dorothy has been taking care of her husband, Levi, because he's now developed a severe form of dementia called Lewy body dementia. And he needs help feeding, getting dressed, getting into bed, everything pretty much. So she's now turned from wife to caretaker. And they represent a growing number of people with African Americans with dementia. And like you said, these are folks who are more likely to be to have these dementia, Alzheimer's disease, and other types of dementia, yet they're less likely to participate in clinical trials, which makes it very difficult to learn more about why.
So, any clue for scientists in terms of why African Americans have higher rates of dementia?
There is some research. So researchers do know that there may be a genetic component. Mm. They also know that African Americans are more likely to have high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, and all of those vascular diseases can affect the brain. And they believe that poverty also may contribute, and lower levels of education as well may contribute to African Americans having higher rates. But there's still a lot more to know.
You mentioned how his wife Dorothy is taking care of him. It's how advanced? I mean, is it really advanced with Levi?
It is. He has a caretaker come in to help her out. But yes, he forgets his children's names. He forgets her name. He forgets a lot about his past. In fact, one of his children made a big poster board with pictures and names to remind him of who is who. And so sometimes he has moments of lucidity, mm-hmm. but most of the time he does not. His memory is really going, and he's even forgetting at this point to swallow.
Yeah, it was when my grandpa forgot my name. I just most heartbreaking thing you could ever imagine to have your own grandfather forget your name. It's not his fault, but you know that's how
it's hard
that goes. All right, so then there's this other problem too. So African Americans less likely to participate in research that could help. So are there theories about why on that?
Yeah, it's not rocket science. There's mm-hmm. a lack of trust among the African American community with the medical institutions, largely because of the Tuskegee Institute research project that went on for decades, where African American sharecroppers were denied treatment for syphilis. This was a very well-known study that has contributed to a lot of problems with lack of trust among African Americans. Also, aside from that, there's a lot of Black people live in communities that they don't necessarily have access to the university and the places that are doing research. And some of them really just haven't been asked. So there's just a lot of lack of participation for a lot of reasons.
And if you don't live near a doctor that studies this, I mean, that to take someone that has dementia, put them in a car, drive them, it's you always want to make their lives as comfortable as possible. That's a very uncomfortable situation.
Absolutely.
Potentially. Yeah. We're speaking to Anna Gorman, reporter for Kaiser Health News. What kind of information could researchers learn from Levi's brain?
A lot. Yeah. So researchers and scientists cannot get a good handle on the disease until after death, until they actually have the brain and they can look closely at the tangles in the brain and the causes for dementia, the causes for Alzheimer's. They can also study more about the progression of the disease, and having people donate their brains can help develop drug treatments for African Americans and others. There was one study by Rush University in Chicago in 2015 that showed that African Americans actually had higher rates of other dementias in addition to Alzheimer's than whites. So they are starting to learn a little bit more in the few brains that they have been able to get donated.
Now, you wrote that many research facilities, like one at UC Davis, are trying to do more outreach when it comes to the importance of brain donation. Generally speaking, Anna, how's it going for these things?
It's going okay. They are having some success. But again, there's a long way to go. But they're having success because they're really getting out there in the community. So at UC Davis is a perfect example. They have a recruiter, an outreach worker, mm-hmm. who she goes into churches, she goes to health fairs, and she really develops a relationship and trust with the community. She puts on events to inform people about dementia. And she has one-on-one conversations with people to ease their concerns, because there are concerns. What are scientists going to do with my brain? Can I still have an open casket at my funeral? They have a lot of questions. And so her role is to help kind of develop trust and to answer and ease those questions so that people are more comfortable. And they are having some success. Both UC Davis and Rush University, Columbia University, and others are getting some brains donated. But they really want to get a higher share of African Americans. They're getting still more white brains donated than they are black brains.
Does the recruiter mention at all how difficult it must be to establish that trust? You mentioned some of the history that African Americans have had with health institutions in this country.
It's very difficult and it takes time. Yeah. And so this recruiter, she said sometimes she will meet with families, you know, for months or even years before they decide to donate their brains after death. And maybe they'll participate in other research, but they're not quite comfortable with that idea. Or maybe they'll just have a conversation and they won't necessarily participate in the research yet. Mm-hmm. So yes, it can take months or years to develop that trust and that build that relationship.
What about Dorothy Reeves? Did she make a decision about whether she would donate her husband's brain for research?
In the end, she did.
She did.
So at first,
good.
She was very reluctant and she participated in the research, but she didn't want to do that. And then over time, she started to see what this disease could do to her husband. And she saw what a devastation it could cause on her family and other families. And she made the decision both for herself and for her husband that they would donate their brains after death to help research.